Have your Bibles, go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. While you're going there, I'm going to tell y'all a little story. I'm not much for telling stories as far as stuff you read on the internet or anything like that. This one got me though, so I had to like, all right, I'm going to tell it. I was thinking about it on the way up. There's a lady was checking out at a convenience store or a grocery store. There was a toddler and a baby. Well, you know, 1 or so years old, and the toddler was old enough to run around the cart. Y'all kind of get the drift on that. And the mother had bought the toddler some glow sticks. And the little one was crying because she wanted one, or he wanted one. It was an older boy and a younger boy, and they wanted one. So the mom opened up the pack and gave the little one the glow stick. And the glow stick, he was happy, you know. Tears are gone. Everybody's happy. Well, they went throughout the store a little bit, and they were ready to check out. Next thing you know, the older one takes the glow stick back. And y'all know, kind of see how this is going to go. And the little one started crying and was really upset again. Well, then the older one bends the glow stick and gives it back to the little one. And they said, oh, what's it doing? He said, the reason I wanted to do that is because I had to break it to show you what it was made for. I didn't take it from you to keep it. See, that thing that you were happy with was not really what it was supposed to be used for. What it was supposed to have been broken, and this liquid comes out and it glows. So now you're getting a full effect. And then all of a sudden, it was like God spoke to this lady, and she said, that's how God does us. He gives us life, and we are happy with it. But then sometimes God breaks certain people. And that could be an illness, a death in the family, a divorce, financial situation, all kinds of different things that break us. And while in the mode of breaking, we're upset that God's took our normal life away and done something with it and then hands it back to us broken. But he hands it back to us is where we can shine in dark places, where you can shine in the places when somebody else is sick and somebody else is dying, somebody else is going through a divorce, somebody else is going through financial trouble. You can shine. Man, I thought that was such a cool thing because that is literally what God does. And we all realize that it was the broken places in our lives that really made the difference in who we are as Christians, right? I hope that helped you. I don't know. I'm not a very good translator. Now, listen, when I leave here, don't give me 100 different stories to tell. I ain't going to tell them. I won't probably. It'll just have to be God saying do that, all right? So anyway, y'all ready? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to learn? Because I'm ready to teach. God's ready to let you learn. I think I preached this message in my sleep last night. Melissa told me to be quiet. She said I was preaching like almost in tongues, I guess, because she said I couldn't understand what I was saying, but I kept saying, you're stirred up. You're stirred up. And I can remember Kevin. And I was like, oh. So I went back to sleep. I don't even know if I ever woke up, but I did hear her say Kevin because she had to go to work in the morning. All right, y'all ready? Golly, let's just get in the Word. This is so good. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is it what y'all got right there? Is that what y'all are seeing? For so, what the for so part? I probably should have preached the first 10 verses. It's for those who are saved and for those who draw near to God in your study, in your preparation, growing your faith, growing by grace, and growing in Christ Jesus. Y'all hear me? So the ones that are saved, and then say, you know what, I don't want to just be saved, I want to grow my faith. If you'll go back and read the first part of chapter 1, you'll see how to grow your faith. You got to add some stuff to it. Amen? Not adding anything to your salvation. You're adding to your faith and to your grace and in Christ Jesus. So guess what? Those people who do that, God opens unto them. He ministers. There's such a good word right here. Look at this. It's a ministering. It says, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's like a harbor into a great city. Peter was at the end of his life. These are the last three chapters Peter's going to write. These are the last things Peter is going to say. There was a great turbulence in the time of Rome, and Peter's about to be, he's about to be offered up. This is the end of his life. But you know what? He spent all of his life growing towards God, growing his faith, knowing that he's saved. And guess what? He enters in the harbor of eternal life. Golly, guys, I don't know about you, but I'm glad there's a ministering, an abundant ministering into the eternal life. There's a grace that God gives those who believe in Him like a harbor, like a ship coming into the city. Man, I read that. I said, man, I almost skipped that. I almost skipped down to verse, starting in verse 12. And I kept reading that. And I'm sitting there thinking, my God, that's the grace of God. Peter's sitting there going, man, I don't know if I'll be able to move on after this. I don't know if I'll be able to get any more out of this message for you. Peter said, I'm in the harbor. I'm in the harbor, man. I'm glad. This is what I've been looking forward to. Golly, bum. Is that not amazing? That Peter's in the harbor. And he's all right. He wants to be here. He wants to preach. He wants to teach. He wants to share because he's still writing in his epistles to the church. But at the same time, hey, Mr. Tugboat Operator, bring me on in. Golly, man, that's exciting. I hope you know this. If you're a Christian, the closer you get to God, as time eats his own, you start looking forward to glory. Amen. Amen. I mean, man, when I first got saved, I thought, man, I'm going to serve God forever. Now I'm starting to think, man, I can't wait. I mean, I ain't got no death wish, but I do have a wish to see Jesus. I mean, I read about him, the more I study about him, the more presence I feel, the closer I get to him, the more I want to say, hey, I'm getting tired of just believing in him. I want to really see him. I want to touch him. Man, so ain't that a good? I mean, I want to move on. I know you want me to move on, and I know I want to get out of here by a certain time, but I like that. I like that abundant ministering. God, that's big. He said there's going to be an abundant ministering to everlasting life. In my other study Bible, it references when there's a prophetic to Christ, there's a little star by it. There's a star by that one. That's what Jesus did for us. He ministered unto us, an abundant entering into the everlasting life. Golly, y'all are so cool. Y'all are so cool. Y'all, I don't know how you keep your cool like you do. One day we're going to enter into the kingdom of God. And man, alive, you won't be so cool then. You won't be so cool. You won't. You'll lose your cool, thank God. Wherefore, I will not be negligent. Listen to what he says. Y'all ready to absorb some word? Not just feeling, but absorb. Listen to this. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. What's it? Wait a minute. He said, I'm not going to be negligent. Negligent in what? Reminding you to grow your faith. Reminding you about the gospel. Reminding you of how I love Jesus. Reminding you of where I met him and where he met me. It never got old to these guys. Ever. Meeting Jesus Christ never got old to Peter, James, and John. All the apostles, all the disciples that seen him face to face, it never, never, never got old. Ever. They never said, I don't want to hear another message about heaven. I never want to hear a message about hell. I never want to hear a message about that Jesus. They were always like, give me more. Feed me some more. Man, I want to hear. Tell me again how when he came by the Sea of Galilee. Tell us about it. Remember. Tell us. Tell us how he got in your boat. Peter, remember, he'd say, well, Jesus had a big crowd. and we'd fished all night, and we're really tired and exhausted, and we had caught nothing. And Jesus come along, and he's walking on the shoreline, and he needed my boat, so he sat down in my boat. And then he asked me to kick back off the shore just a little bit, and he began to teach this message, and I was sitting there behind him, and he was so powerful, man. My heart was on fire as he taught. My heart was exploding. I was like, oh my God, this man is teaching with such power. And oh, he must think he's teaching all those people on shore, but it's hitting me. It was all of a sudden done. Class is dismissed. He says, hey man, kick out a little bit deeper. All right. Just a one-on-one thing now. Just me and you, Jesus. Man, everything you were teaching was awesome. Jesus probably didn't say a word. Man, you're an awesome teacher. You know that? Everything you said really, really affected me. It really changed me. And man, that was powerful. And I'm really tired. And I'm exhausted. And well, you know, my business is fishing. And man, you're awesome. Hey, will you do me a favor? Will you cast your nets out on that side? That's funny. You're a good speaker, Lord. But we've been fishing all night. But that's your word. Right? That's your word. The rest is history. We caught fish, but he caught me. We caught fish, but he caught me. And he'd tell that story his whole life, how Jesus caught him. He'd tell all the stories about how Jesus changed him in boats and changed his life. Amen? And he said, you know what he said? When I'm on my way out, I will never neglect teaching you never to let go. Never to let go. Never stop sharing your faith. Never stop sharing the gospel. Never stop being. Never, ever, ever. I won't neglect. I'll tell you never to stop. Listen to what he says. So good. This is me preaching last night, I guess. Yeah, I think it meet. He goes, I think it's good. As long as I am in this tabernacle. That's what he says. As long as I'm in this earthly tent. As long as I'm in this body. Stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Peter didn't mind stirring people up. He wouldn't let the good stick to the bottom. He was always trying to get more out of people. He was always letting them know, you know what? Being a Christian is more than just going to church. It's more than just reading the Bible. It's more than just praying. It's being involved in people's lives. You know what? Christianity is a people business. You got to love on people. Even when they ain't loving on you. And he's just stirring. He's going to stir you up all the time. You mean you're stirring something up, you got to stay at it. You stirred up. That's what he has. You stirred up. Hey, sis, stirred up. You still stirred up? Hey, brother, you still stirred up? Hey, you still reading? You still praying? Still going to church? Hey, still plugged in? Still in that ministry? Stir up, stir up, stir up. Add to your faith. Hey, what are you getting in that knowledge? Hey, trying any virtue? Are you trying to be better than you were last year? Huh? Or have you got to a place where you compare yourself to people that are lost? Woo! Or you compare yourself to people that are not in church that are saying they're saved. Are you comparing yourself to what? The target, which is Jesus. He said, I'm the target. I'm the finish line. Why aren't you competing? Why aren't you shooting for me? Why don't you add it something every day? If you add something to your faith every single day, there's a whole list of them. Amen. Brotherly kindness, brotherly love. Whew. If you did that every day, you'd be so busy. Next thing you know, you'd be stirred up all the time. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. He goes, man, I'm coming to the harbor, guys. You know what Peter was scared of? That's what I'm scared of. You know what scares me, pastoring the church? That I leave, if anything ever happens, and they say, well, what? They go to somebody and say in the church, what was Kevin all about? Man, he's good. Or he's terrible, he's bad. Teacher, bad preacher, bad this, good preacher. Instead of saying, he taught us to add more to our faith, add more to our grace, and add more to our relationship in Jesus Christ. really, can I be honest with you, what I'd like you to say? It's really not about Kevin, to be honest with you. He just kind of stirred us up that we'd fall deeper in love with Christ and want to do more in Christ Jesus, that it really wasn't about Him, it was about me and Jesus. I'd rather you know more. I'd rather you have more passion. I'd rather you be doing what God exactly wants you to do than worrying about what I did. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that I won't stir you up enough. That I won't make that you'll be willing to say, I hope I get a blessing. If I go down there tonight, you better bless me or I ain't going back. Amen. Better bless me this time. Better give me something. You better give me something. What I want you to do is say, man, not only do I want to be fed, but then I want to feed somebody. And I want to be a blessing to somebody. And I want to reach out to somebody. I want to use my gifts, my talents, my abilities. Because when His ship pulls into the harbor, I'm going to run my ship out there. Amen? I'm going to run my ship out there. Amen? Does that make sense? That was what His word. He goes, shortly, I'm going to take this tabernacle. He goes, like God said, they're about to lead me away. They're going to do away with my body. And guess what? I'm all right with that. But you know what? Hopefully I've stirred you up enough. I don't want a plaque. I don't want a name. I don't want a building. I don't want nothing that with my name on. It's what I want. I want believers who took it a little bit further. And when we meet in glory, say, hey man, that was good. That was a good run, wasn't it? I'm glad we made it into eternity. How many did you bring with you? Great, awesome. Amen? Does it make sense? Let's get a little bit deeper. It's good. Verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. You know what He did? He just told them we were witnesses. You need to write this down. This is a great argument point. Not an argument point, but sometimes when your faith gets low, you think about this. All the apostles that Jesus Christ had, all 11 of them. Then, you know, Paul was added, right? And then Matthias took Judas's place. Y'all good? Does that make sense? Okay, go study that out. It's the early book of Acts. Okay? But guess what happens? Jesus said, all these are mine but Judas. All these are mine but Judas. Judas is not mine. Guess what the rest of them did with the rest of their lives? They burned the rest of their life down for Jesus. Not one of them ever turned away. Not one of them ever turned back. Not one of them ever quit. Not one of them ever said, no, that was phony. We didn't have a real deal. You know what? They all lived all the way up to the end of their life presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ with their words, with their actions, and with their deeds, and with their deaths. Never mind. God, y'all don't get excited about nothing. Listen, that's crazy. That's 100%. That's 100%. That's kind of unrealistic. Amen? But the only thing that makes it realistic is they walked with Jesus. He must have been who He said He was. Because every one of them guys were like, I can't lie about that. He's God. Amen? Paul don't make any sense. Paul runs into Jesus, he says, on the road to Damascus, and the rest of his life is nothing but giving his life for the gospel. Either he's crazy or he ran into Jesus. He ran into Jesus because he was already religious. He was already a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He just ran into God and he said, I changed my mind. All right? Now think about this sometimes when you're thinking about these apostles. Man, the rest of their lives, they serve God. Have you really, can I ask you this, answer this question hard, have you really ran into Jesus? Because if you really have that thing, no turning back, it's pretty simple. I mean, I might mess up, I might sin, I might fall short of God's glory, I might make a mistake, but you won't ever hear me say, oh, no, that God thing ain't real. That never really happened. I met Jesus. August 28, 04, I met him. I was a different man. I was a different man. I didn't care about people. If somebody would have told me, hey, I want you to go over there and help these people, and I'd say, what's in it for me? Amen? 90% of it would be like, no. Amen? So how do you know you've been saved? Because now I care about what God cares about in my life. And somebody said, well, do you ever want to tell me? Hey, there's times when the devil shines. He's a good fisherman. Amen? He's a good trapper. Yeah, can I preach right here? He's a good trapper? That's what he is. He sets traps. He sets it with what you like. And he's not worried about time. He don't mind to go back and set the trap like what you used to like. No, never mind. If he sees that you beat the thing, he'll go back to where, like when you were 8 or 9 years old. He'll just start over. Amen? He's good. He's thorough. And he knows you. He knows your flesh, man. So it's not amazing sometimes that he can get something. God, I wish I could really preach it. It's not amazing that sometimes he can do some things and push some buttons on you and get you acting a certain way, saying certain things, doing certain things, and you're totally out of character. That's not crazy. But when you come to yourself, when you come to understand, wait a minute, this is terrible. This is eating death. This is drinking out of broken cisterns. There's no end to this, but death, I don't want this. Amen? No thanks. Amen? That's the difference. Can I ask you, has that happened for you? So don't go on and listen. I'm asking you that on purpose. You say on Wednesday night, I say, man, we're all saved here on Wednesday night. I said, really, are you though? I mean, has there been a change? Has there been a flip over in your heart that, hey, God's more important than anything else? And you're never going to turn away from Him. Nothing can pull you. So, I mean, man, He can make you mad. He can make you bitter. He can get you to drink. He can get you to lie, but will you stay there? I've told a lie since I've been saved. Everybody say, oh, that preacher. He eats at you, man. Eats at you. Eats at you. Can I tell you one? Can I tell you a lie? Oh, God, don't record this. Turn it off, Kyle. We're going to go on a training trip down in, with Providence. This is 5 or 6 years ago. And we're going to go down to a training trip down in Atlanta. And I was living on the mountain, and they had to go from Dalton. Well, Roy said, don't worry, we'll get your gas, okay? I was like, great, okay. So, guess what? I stopped on the way out and got the gas. Well, I got down there, and he said, hey, I'm going to get your gas. I forgot. He goes, go and pull up to the station and get the gas. I said, okay. So I went over there and got the gas, and I'd already got the gas, so I got gas twice. And I'm like, man, you know? I'm like, you know, I drove all the way home. Man, gas, man. It's $30 worth of gas. Gas! Man, I used to lie about everything. I'm walking around the house, gas, man, the gas. Gas. You know, are you hungry? No, it's the gas, man. Not that I had gas. No, you know, gas. Couldn't sleep. Couldn't think. Couldn't have enjoy myself. I was just like, my God, this is terrible. I call him at like 11 o'clock at night. Hey. He's like, what? I'm like, the gas. He's like, what about the gas? It's 11 o'clock. Is there an emergency? Is there somebody dying at the camp? No. I am. Instead of getting gas on the down there, I got gas on the way down there, and I got gas again. He goes, so what? That's what I can tell you. And it's eating me, man. I can't live that way. He said, I should have bought your gas on the way down. I didn't even think about it. I said, but what can I do? He said, write us a check. Donate the thing. I don't care. Drive your car. It's not a big deal. I said, but it's a big deal to me because I know what I was doing. And that's not who I am. That's salvation. Salvation will eat your lunch. Some people think, I'm saved. I can do whatever I want to. If you're saved, grace will wear you out. It'll hunt you down. It'll make you confess. It'll make you hunt people down. I'm sorry. You'll be mad as a hornet and tell somebody, I'm sorry. Tears run down. Want to fight them. Deal, man. Love you, brother. Some of y'all better admit to some of that stuff. God gets me to tell everything. That's why He makes me tell everything. And I'm sitting there going, oh, not that story. I say, yeah, tell them all of it. It's just true. Amen. I could lie to you and tell you a bunch of stuff that ain't true, but that's true. That's God. If you get saved, He'll wear you out. And if you do keep it in, I don't know what happened, but I'm sure it ain't going to be good. You just can't live with it. Y'all ready? For he received from God the Father honor and glory. Is that right? Yeah, okay. Honor and glory, where came such a voice to him from the excellent glory that he is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's go back to verse 17. Let's read this a little bit slower. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Did y'all hear that? When is that? Transfiguration? Ain't that cool? Did he not get to see the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus? Why is he referring back to the Mount of Transfiguration? He's at the end of his life. He's writing the last epistle that he'll write. He's writing to a church that's been established in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he goes all the way back to the Mount of Transfiguration. Ain't that amazing? Do you know why? Y'all know why? It's the first time that he's seen Jesus as God. He didn't realize it. He transformed right in front of him. And he said, it was like what Paul saw on the road to Damascus, Peter seen for the very first time. He took the inner circle up there. And remember Peter up there? He was just got weird and goofy. He got up there and all of a sudden he transformed himself and he just became pure light. And God's voice came down. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Peter said, I know what we're going to do! Because Elijah and Moses showed up. Let's build 3 tabernacles! And he passed out. Never mind. That always cracks me up because that's where heaven's going to be. If we don't have new glorified bodies, we last about 3 minutes. We say goofy stuff and we pass out. Right? He's so excited to be there. But what I'm just telling you is that's the first time it was etched in his memory. It was etched. The death, yes. The burial, yes. The resurrection, yes. But the first time, first time he ever seen God was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, oh my God. We seen him. I seen him. Man, I don't want to. Y'all get that? He unwrapped the present right in front of him. He unwrapped the present right in front of him. He pulled that sheep skin, like the tabernacle. He pulled that off and let him see the holiest of holy. And he went, oh God. We've been walking around with God this whole time. Amen? Y'all get that? So powerful. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. All right, yes. Prophecy. Whereunto you dwell, that you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What he's saying is, we got a Bible. We got the Word of God. And he said, you know what the Word of God is? It's a light. It's a word of prophecy. And when it comes into your life, It's going to be like an illumination in a dark place. Amen? So you have that. You have a beautiful word of prophecy. He said, man, we've written, Paul's written, all these people have written, the prophets have written, and you've got the word of God, and it will illuminate a dark place. But one day, the day star will arise. Woo! The day star will arise in you, but the day star will arise on earth one day. Golly bum. The day star is Jesus. He said, when that day star rises, then all this stuff doesn't matter. But until then, we've got a perfect word of prophecy. Listen, this is good. I love this part. Can I give y'all just a little bit of straight knowledge right here? So to help you, verse 20 is just straight knowledge, just how to tell you a matter of fact stuff. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, verse 20, of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Some of y'all need to underline that, highlight that, make it a part of your life verse, okay? Do it. I'm serious. Make a note right here. When people come to you and they get all ooky spooky and they act like they know more than you do because they're smarter than you and they've studied more and they know more, and blah, 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 you just look at them and say, no, I'll study it for myself, I'll read it out for myself, and I'll pray for myself, and God will let me have it when I need it. Thank you. You'll run into people all the time who'll say, I have read and God has developed the third realm into the deeper parts and you just don't understand and I'm a deeper brother than most people are. You just got to laugh at them and say, whoa, that's great. I can't wait till maybe I get to your level, but right now I'll just stay on my level. Thanks. Am I helping y'all come? I want y'all to hear this. Hey, there are cults that start because they'll say, no, we'll read the word. You sit there and listen. A true church, a true Christian church says, read, verify, check, double check, and triple check what I say and make sure we're all right. I'll hold the book. Y'all just pay attention. You hear me? That's how culture started. That's how people say stuff. That's how they take one scripture over here. Amen? One man went and hung himself. Took another verse from over here. Go and do likewise. No. No. Right? No, I'm going to do that. Right? So that's how people do. But guess what? That's this thing right here. I want you to understand this. The Word of God is for you. It's a personal consumption thing. This was never meant to be just a corporate thing. We get together and do this corporately. Praise God, if you're only doing this corporately, you're starving to death. If you're only reading Bible, the only time you see your Bible, the pages of your Bible, is in corporate worship or corporate preaching, you're starving to death. You need to get on, what do they call that stuff? The insure? You need to take a sip of this. Like just a sip every day then. Like an insure. Just drink you a little of this every day. You say, where do I start? Anywhere. I know what some of y'all been in church long enough. Start the book of John, brother. Yeah, start in John, read Matthew, Mark, Luke. It don't take you no time. If you got saved, this thing will look like a number 4 combo at McDonald's. I don't even know if that's the same thing it used to be. When I weighed about 305, it was a double quarter pounder with cheese, extra large fry, and a Diet Coke. Yes, a Diet Coke. A Diet Coke offset everything you just ordered. Something in the formulation of a Diet Coke that make fries and cheeseburgers just dissolve into the non-calories. I always wondered if the people laughed when I said that. Can I get that large Diet Coke too? I'm trying to watch myself. Give me an extra fry while I'm at it. Right? No, I'm sorry. Y'all don't. Yeah, yeah. Would you want one of these special offers on apple pie? No, yeah. Give me two of them. Golly, that's how I used to live, amen? God, I still every once in a while break down since I made Chick-fil-A. But that's spiritual chicken. No, never mind. I'm sorry. I had to say that. That's spiritual period. Second, that's a whole different deal. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, and we'll get out of this. At least we can laugh. Here we go. Let's get this last verse. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's another one. When you're reading the Word of God, friend, you're not reading some book that somebody wrote. This is when somebody comes up to you and say, it's not what this means, and this part of the Bible don't mean anything anymore, and this part of the Bible it's irrelevant. This part is irrelevant. You look at them and you say, I'm tough about this. This is God's breathed. Amen? So don't come and tell me that there's some part that's not relevant. If God breathed it and a man wrote it by the movement of the Holy Ghost, then you shut up. Just shut up. I don't want to hear, look, let me show you. This is something new. Listen, I don't want nothing new. You know, some of y'all like that. You go, I'd like to have something. Listen, if it was good enough for the people in the 1900s, 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, now in the 20s, listen, God ain't going to give something different to us than He didn't somebody 100 years ago. It's the same. It's good enough for everybody. So how do you know it's good enough? The gospel will save anybody. I've heard people say a gospel message, it won't get you anybody. It won't get you. Listen, Jesus said it this way. If you lift me up, I will draw all men unto myself. The problem is we're trying to grow the church and we're not letting Jesus grow it. Amen? God's Word. If somebody ever comes to you and says, God didn't really mean this, God didn't really, you listen, you get in that Word for yourself and you read it out for yourself. And you will find, here's what I give most people the answers to this stuff. I say, listen, if you read the Word of God in context, a lot of times, if you not just verse here, verse that, but in context, there's no doubt what God means in His Word. Amen? We ain't got to argue about point here, point there. If you read it in context, it'll be very clear what it is. Amen? Let's all stand. I hope a couple things. I hope you're stirred up. I hope that you've learned something. And tonight, I hope we've laughed a little bit. That's true. But I hope you go home and you say, I want to add something to my faith, to my grace, and to my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd ask them to come just play a verse of a song, and just in case there's anybody in the house, because I want to ask you this question once again before we do. Does God do that to you? Are you never going to turn back to who you used to be in sin, who you used to be before you got saved? I'm not asking if you've not ever messed up. I'm saying, does your sin bother you more than anybody else? Do you chase Him and pursue Him and love Him and are never going? You're going to live the rest of your life for God to the best of your ability? If that question kind of gnawed at you the first time I asked it, this is why we're having an altar call. This is why we're having music right here. You can come talk to the Lord.